Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Segreto and my co-host Joel LaBava on the Franchise Today show. Yes, that's right. The Franchise Essential show has changed its identity. It is now the Franchise Today show. Nothing else has changed. We're still the same old sarcastic bastards as yesteryear. Speaking of which, how are you today, Joel?
Hey, you know what? I had a feeling Sarcastic and Joel were going to somehow be bonded together. I'm doing great, man. I'm happy to report that my personal consulting business is picking up a little bit. I'm getting a little activity from some pretty serious folks that want to explore franchise ownership, and I know that you're cranking things out with marketing, and I think you're meeting a few folks also, right?
Yes, I am. The marketing side of it is going well. More and more franchisors are interested in social media and integrating it with some of their traditional strategies. And I just finished my segment, the development track of the Frantelligence webinar series with that I did in conjunction with Armin Dietrich. Matter of fact, Ginny just finished the marketing track today and with the folks over at Franchise Business Review. We spent 4 hours over 4 weeks talking about identifying targets for social media, developing a strategy, executing the strategy, and then analyzing and quantifying the results. And 4 hours was far from enough time to do anything but scratch the surface. And I've had quite a few people afterwards inquire and take me up on some consultations, and it's been good. But, you know, on the other side, with franchise candidates, I do see, unlike a lot of other years where, you know, we start to slow down as we get into the fourth quarter, I'm actually seeing an increase on people that are interested in franchise opportunities and exploring it. And I'm seeing a little bit more of a qualified franchise candidate than the typical tire kicker.
You know what? This would be also a very good time for each of us quickly to describe what we do, because we both work with franchise candidates, but we do it differently. Why don't you start, since you're in Texas?
Since I'm in Texas, huh? Okay. I work with franchise candidates, people that are exploring franchise opportunities. I only work on referrals from people that I've already done business with. I charge them a fee up front. And then I take them through the various steps of exploring opportunities to the point of preparing them for Discovery Day. And I've been doing that on and off for the last 15 years, and it seems to work pretty well. As well, I also work within social media within the franchising industry, and I work with a lot of franchisors, both from a coaching and a consulting standpoint. And I handle a lot of their social media activity, as well, which I think the passion of what I do is also work with franchisees that are floundering along and need some help, and sometimes need a kick you know where, and sometimes just need some direction and a little bit of persuasion and motivation.
Okay.
How about Mr. LaBava?
Well, we do things a little differently. Paul did not mention that the folks he works with have a few ideas of their own already about what franchises they want to explore. So that's one of the reasons that Paul charges a consulting fee up front and guides them through the process. Now, most of the franchise brokers and consultants in the world do not charge up front. This guy is different, Joel LaBava, the franchise king. I have a small commitment fee that I charge up front, unless it is a local outplacement office that I work with. For downsized executives, I do not charge those folks at all because I'm grandfathered in, and I don't want to do that. But anyway, I do charge a small commitment fee, and I'm only working with 3 people a month maximum because I'm involved in so many other things. But what I do is I work with folks that want to explore opportunities in franchising and would like to trust my judgment in matching them to those opportunities. And I work with about 40 different franchisors in every segment except for some of the food segments. And then I get paid a finder's fee from the franchisors, and that's how it works. I also do some social media work. Carl and I do some stuff together, and we seem to specialize in some of the younger franchisors out there. So we're out there, and I'm also a columnist on Small Business Trends and on Open Forum by American Express, and I also was part of something different over at business.gov, and that is the government's web portal to business, and I helped put together a bunch of bloggers, first time ever on a government site, and we write about small business issues. Obviously, I write about franchising, so that's what I've been doing for 8.5 years, the consulting part, and for 6 years online. It takes a long time, folks, to get everything going online, but it's worth it. So I figured we should probably tell people what each of us do, as opposed to everyone kind of guessing what the bagel and the pasta guy do. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's it. Stick to it. Yeah, it's also good to remind people now and again, of course, what we do and where we've expanded into and how it works with candidates and franchisees and franchisors alike. And so anyway, it was good to take that opportunity. What is new on the franchise blog front?
Well, we always use Guy Kawasaki's alltop.com franchise area, which I helped put together. And I picked three stories that were posted in the last week. The first one, interestingly enough, is going to be a free plug for Paul because on his Franchise Essentials site, which is a combination blog and website, he wrote just yesterday an article titled, "How Responsible Are Franchisees for Their Own Success or Failure?" And I love that title, Paul, because you know what? I always say that as adults, we're all responsible for our own actions. And whether it's choosing the wrong franchise for ourselves and muddling through it and maybe losing our money, to choosing the right franchise for ourselves and having our own home run, it's still our responsibility to do the legwork and to be good franchisees if that is the path we choose. And I'm sure you mentioned it in part of the article, but it's not up to the franchisor to hold your hand, folks. The franchisor is there because they have the system, it was their idea, and you pay them to help you get where you want to go, but it definitely has to be a win-win for both. So, Paul, why don't you, if you can talk about it for a couple minutes, tell us why you like that post, you know?
Yeah, I started that article a while back, which was titled Get Off Your Ass for Business Success. Yeah. And then I expanded upon it and put a question out into the LinkedIn Q&A forum about how responsible are franchisees for their own success or failure. And I really, in the article that I posted last night on my blog site, it was the responses from the perspective of individuals that are not in the franchise industry as franchisees or as franchisors or franchise executives. Basically, they're outside vendors and suppliers that work with the franchise industry but are not entrenched in it. And an expert in the HR field, which is towards the bottom of the article, comes right out and says, franchisees are totally responsible for their own success or failure. If the franchisor does not support them, they have to remember they are the ones who made the decision to buy the franchise. They decided who to hire and who approved the location. If the system's not working, then figure out what needs to happen and make it happen. When you buy a franchise, you do not buy a job. You buy a business. Would you let your employees blame it on you if they did not produce? I mean, that, I think, says it all. I mean, use the system that you're buying into, but realize that, and not just when the going gets tough, and that's when it usually comes to a head, but at all times, do the things, get off your ass, do the things that are necessary to save your business, improve your business, or develop your business. And there are a lot of things outside the box. We've all heard the monikers, you know, grassroots marketing, duct tape marketing, out-of-the-box marketing, guerrilla marketing, street fighter marketing. There's a plethora of publications out there at the local Barnes & Noble or Borders bookstore that talk about this grassroots type of marketing, and it's a great way to build your business. You need to take responsibility for your business.
That is true. That is true. I mean, you were a franchisee, and your path wasn't always smooth. Did you?
No, not at all, and I wish somebody had smacked me upside the face couple of times and said, you know what? Focus. I remember John Colarossi, Senior Vice President of Moran Industries, said to me one time, he says, I really got to laugh. And I said, why, John? He said, here your business is going downhill and you're spending 5 days golfing in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so he was right. He was right. I just thought at that time there wasn't anything else that I could do, but he was 100% right.
Huh. So what lesson can franchisees that are struggling during a really, really rough economy now learn from what you did or didn't do?
Well, I think the first thing is, and again, what I've written about is, don't put your head in the sand. Face the challenges head up. Be open to suggestion. Realize that things can be happening right under your nose that you would never suspect. Make sure that you look at every situation. You look at every dollar spent. And you know what? If it looks like a pig and it's dressed like a pig and it oinks like a pig, you know what? It's probably a pig. It's not going to change. Sound like the Beatles song, the little piggies. But anyway, you know, that's what it comes down to, is just realize it. You know, don't chalk it up. Well, it's the economy. My employee has a sick mom at home. You know what? At the end of the day, it's your responsibility to manage the business and make sure it succeeds. And it's too easy to just throw up our hands and stick our head in the sand and point the blame elsewhere. I did it. I did it in an organization that I ran the organization and put people in business. And I failed in a circumstance as a multi-unit franchisee, you know. And a lot of things could have changed. I might still have failed, but you know what? I think I could have gone ahead and failed with a little bit more dignity than I did, but it was a great learning process. Probably cost a little bit more even than a Stanford or a Harvard MBA, but again, that's water under the bridge. It's behind us, and I like to go ahead and teach based off that experience and tell franchisees, you know, don't put your head in the sand. You know, look at the stuff that needs to be looked at. Ask your franchisor for help. Ask, you know, other people in business for help and guidance and suggestions. But more importantly, get off your ass. Get there earlier. I know you might be depressed and you want to sleep in, or you can't sleep in. Get there early. Stay late. Make it happen, because it all starts and stops with you.
Thank you, Paul Segretto from the Hard Knocks.
All right, wait a second. Did you hear this sound? That's the sound of my soapbox being put away.
Yeah, well, you know, you come from the school of hard knocks, Paul, you know? So listen to Paul. You know, I have a franchisor that was just the franchise of the month, Show Homes. And I bet you that Thomas Scott is a guy that won't let his franchisees kind of wallow in the lousy economy. Show Homes is a pretty cool concept. They do home staging, and boy, what a good time to be a franchisee if you're one already. And also, obviously, you want to think about it to get into business to begin with, because the real estate market always is in a cycle. But boy, I'll tell you, empty houses are hard to sell, and Show Homes can make your house unempty and even have someone live there for a while for that lived-in look. Anyway, the Franchise King blog, the franchise of the month is Show Homes. And you know a little about them, don't you, Paul?
Yeah, you know what's really neat is that, you know, at a time when a lot of franchisors are throwing up their hands and complaining that things are bad and they can't make things happen, but yet they don't want to venture into something new like social media, The people over at Show Homes really get social media. I know they've been doing a lot of their franchise sales activity has been generated through social media. They participate. I've seen them on the various webinars that I've been on. They really get it, and maybe that's a big part of the reason why they're successful, and that gets back to what we just discussed about, you know, not keeping your head in the sand and getting off your ass and making it work. They see an opportunity to take their business to a new level by using new tools and technology, and you know what? It's paying off.
Yep. I like what they do. I would definitely say they jumped into social media and have done a really, really nice job. And that's how the three of us found each other, with social media, you know? So Holmes, you and I mean, it was all the same. So anyway, I wanted to mention that. I like them a lot. I like their style. And it is a growing franchisor. The next article I wanted to talk about was over at the Franchise King blog. And this is kind of a cool one.
Back up. Hey, Joe, can I back up a second?
Go ahead.
You know, the other thing, too, I mean, when we talk about social media, what they do over at Show Homes is you always see them responding and posting comments to blogs throughout franchising world. I see them time after time after time. And, you know, so I want to reiterate, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that blogs are a big part of social media, and participating as a respondent is just as important as posting the blog.
Yes, listening is very important, and commenting is very important, and you know, even though it's kind of an old cliche now, but engage in the conversation, everybody, because that is what it's about. And speaking of conversation, I know that Paul is not a owner yet of a smartphone, but I just got my BlackBerry now 4 months ago. I love it. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm not an early adopter of technology. I like to wait for a year or so till the kinks are out. But, boy, I wish I would have done this a couple of years ago, because the BlackBerry offers so many cool things. I wrote an article about entitled, "Can You Manage Your Franchise Business with an iPhone or BlackBerry?" And think about all the apps that are created almost every day now. And it is almost to the point, I think, where you could run – your entire franchise operation from the comfort of your iPhone or BlackBerry. And I put a cool picture of a laptop and a cell phone and a nice lounge chair by a pool. And I put in there that, I'd like to be doing that someday, you know, hanging by the pool, hanging by the beach, conducting business while I'm lounging around, you know, smothered in coconut oil. And you know what? It's a nice picture. I can smell the coconut oil. But I think, you know, part of it's possible, and I think it'll get more possible. So, Paul, when are you going to get an iPhone or a BlackBerry?
Well, I had a BlackBerry, and I actually have an iPhone sitting on my desk, although I don't use it. And the reason I don't use it is not because I don't believe in it. It's just I'm very rarely away from my computer, and it's easier for me to use my computer. If I was away from here a bunch, and recently at a speaking engagement is when I realized, you know what, I do need my iPhone back in my pocket.
Yeah.
I was away that day, and I did feel that I was out of touch. But you're right. I mean, the applications that are coming up, all these Twitter tools that are coming up are turning into applications for iPhones and smartphones and BlackBerry. And it's just going to get even better. And I can't even imagine some of the things that they're going to be coming out with. I mean, mobile marketing is just exploding. And you're right. You could do everything from your phone. Everything from your phone. And then, of course, there's the netbook, which a lot of people are using now, which is really a miniature laptop. And they're using that as well.
Yep, and that is—it's cool. I mean, it is just—it is amazing. I would imagine, now, for those of you who don't know it, Paul always sounds a lot clearer, not because he's, you know, clearer, but because he's using a regular phone. I'm doing this show on my BlackBerry because I think I was smart. I made my business phone, my cell phone, the same account, so I don't even have a landline now. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever done that, but I'm kidding, obviously. But I'm doing everything from the BlackBerry now on my phones, and I like it. So I didn't know that you had an iPhone. You should have told me. Now I feel somewhat like the franchise fool.
You know, I mean, there's pros and cons to not having a home phone and only having a cell phone, and I'll give you a con to it, and this is from a personal standpoint. My oldest son, Paul, is married. He's got a BlackBerry, and his wife, Erin, has an iPhone, and they do not have a house phone, and they don't use it for business. You know, that's just each of them has their own phone. And I talk to my son quite a bit, and I call him quite a bit, but the thing is, if he doesn't answer, he just gives me a call back, and I don't talk to my daughter-in-law as much as I would like to, as opposed to calling their house, and he's not home, and then she would pick up. So, I guess, everything.
Yeah, and I know, you know, caller ID is wonderful, but when my BlackBerry's going at 10 in the morning, I mean, I'm assuming it's a business call. But, you know, sometimes it isn't. But I don't know. It's convenient, and I like it. I guess we should move on to a topic that is probably near and dear to your heart, and that would be pizza. How can we not have a franchise show? I know. How can we not have a franchise show and not talk about pizza? This is National Pizza Month, and I didn't know that. Have you ever celebrated National Pizza Month, Paul?
I celebrate it as often as I possibly can.
Well, an article over on franchising.com, Uno, a Chicago grill known as America's Healthiest Chain Restaurant, is celebrating National Pizza Month by expanding its guest choices. And Uno, check this out, has added an all-natural 5-grain flatbread pizza crust option to any of their flatbread offerings. Sounds quite appetizing. I mean, basically, I would eat a 5-grain pizza. I would try it anyway. What about you?
I probably would, but you know what I really like about pizza? And this goes back to being Italian. I like the family aspect of it. There's nothing better than throwing a couple of pizza pies right in the middle of the table and everybody grabbing it, a slice for themselves, and enjoying themselves. That's what I like about pizza.
That's that Italian family thing. You know, that's, 15, 18 people over the house, and that's fun stuff. Now, you know, my wife is Italian, so we experience that a lot. And, you know, pizza's kind of like apple pie over at these households. I mean, it's really cool. I love pizza. I mean, who doesn't like pizza? I mean, really. Even little babies like pizza when they're done gumming, you know, and they have a couple of teeth.
Pizza's good. Pizza is good. And I remember when Uno was Pizzeria Uno.
Yeah, that's right. And now they have a big registered trademark right next to Uno. So I guess it's called Uno Chicago Grill.
Right.
I wonder where they're out of. You would think Chicago, but it's based in Boston, interestingly enough. 200 company-owned and franchised full-service units in 29 states. Puerto Rico, South Korea, the United Arab Emirates, Honduras, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. We also have a company, a fast casual concept company called Uno Do Go, and that's a quick serve concept. Uno Express, consumer food division, which supplies airlines. Oh, yeah. I think I might have, well, they don't serve meals anymore, but, oh, well, the airlines I go on don't serve meals. But I do remember little pizza boxes. Maybe there was Uno. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually, my favorite pizza chain name is Goodfellas Pizza.
Yeah, that's not surprised there.
Godfather.
Awesome, man.
I like Goodfellas Pizza.
Yeah. So what else is on the agenda there, Pizza Man?
Well, let's throw this out there. You know, we're now the Franchise Today show. It's everything that's going on in the world of franchising today. And let's invite franchisors, franchise executives, or franchisees to contact us ahead of time so they can be on the show. We'll give them an opportunity to talk about their franchise. But unlike the other franchise shows that are out there that just allow you to promote, you need to be open to be asked some rather hard questions about franchise relationships and what have you. And as long as you're willing to do that, I think we're open to let you toot your own horn. What do you think, Joel?
I think it's fantastic. You know, there's nothing wrong with some franchisors opening their wallets. I mean, talking to us about their concepts. And you know what? In this age of transparency, it's important to hear kind of both sides and what's going on and the bad and the good, because you know what? You can have 15,000 franchise units and it's still not all good. So let's share that with everybody and work on the stuff that you can do better at.
Yeah, I think we could all learn from each other, and I think that's what really needs to happen. You know, Joe Matthews, the franchise recruitment strategist, founder of the Franchise Performing Group and co-author of Street Smart Franchising, recently wrote on LinkedIn 6 big takeaways from the Franchise Update 2009. You know, a couple of things that I thought that were unique about his post was that, number one, it seemed to generate a lot of interest from the people in the franchise portal industry. And the second, didn't seem to be any mention about Franchise Update's annual mystery shopping. So I'm anxious to see the results of the mystery shopping. If anybody had been privileged to be there and got that information, please share it with us. Otherwise, we'll just have to wait for Franchise Update to post that information. But I know on the Franchise Professionals LinkedIn site, the LinkedIn group site for franchise professionals that's headed up by Brett Newman of Franchise Opportunities Network, there was 20 comments, and I believe all of them centered around the portals. Did you happen to get a chance to read any of that, Joel?
I read a few of them. I don't know how far back that is in the discussions, though. I'm going to try to find it. That was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. It goes back actually 11 days ago. Seems like a long time.
Yeah, it's I remember that it was getting a little bit spirited because some of the franchise portals, Some of the people who run the franchise portals were angry because some of the comments were insinuating that that it's the franchise portal's fault that the leads aren't that good. And the franchise portal executives were saying, well, wait a second, if we provide the leads and a good, healthy portion of the franchisors aren't even following up on those leads, and shame on them, not shame on us. So I agree.
Right. Yeah, they were making reference to the Franchise Update mystery shopping, where franchise salespeople have been found not to follow up on leads, no return phone calls, not taking a name, not taking a phone number, an email address, la-di-da-di-da. And yeah, there was a little bit of a battle going back and forth as to, you know, how could you say our leads from the portals weren't any good when 50% of them of franchise leads aren't being handled effectively anyway. And, you know, they really did piss on each other's feet there for, you know, a couple of days straight. And I really liked what you wrote, that, you know, it can all be a win-win situation for all concerned. I think, you know, the way you said it, it's a perfect scenario. If a franchisor would like to invest $500 a month with a franchise directory portal with leads that are filtered as agreed to by both parties, and the portals are not encouraging its visitors to fill out at least 3 forms too aggressively, then everyone can win. And you pointed out 4 good things, which, you know, number one was Zors get pretty good leads that they have asked for in a filtered way with their criteria. The portals meet their income objectives. Prospective franchise owners locate some opportunities that they're interested in learning more about and are followed up quickly, and you didn't put effectively, but quickly and effectively by the Zors.
Yeah.
And the end result is that a new small business is started in our country and equity and jobs are created in the long term. Good stuff. Yes, 100% right, and it was nice and simple, and you weren't pissing on anybody's shoes.
Well, thank you. You know, once in a while, I think things through for more than 2 minutes, and my ADD doesn't get in the way. But there was, and thank you for pointing it out, but there was also something up here that is true, and some of the franchise portals didn't really want to hear us. But I remember when I was with a certain franchise brokerage group over 2 years ago that I would get a so-called internet lead from a franchise portal through this franchise group. And it would be interesting because I would call the person and they would be so angry by the time I called. They would say things like, well, wait a second. I wanted to know about Uno's Pizza. What are you calling me for? Or, you know what, you're the third franchise broker that's called me already. I'm done with you. All I wanted to do was learn about Chipotle, you know. And early on, a lot of the franchise portals, and you know who you are, were selling leads to three or four competitors of its clients. And you know what? It's wrong. And not only it's wrong to encourage people to fill out as many as possible because if they get paid for everyone that's filled out, but you know what? Let's think of the consumer, the frightened, paranoid, skeptical consumer who's about to, you know, put in $200,000 to a franchise. They're just trying to get information. And the franchisor is paying for someone that wants information. You know, I mean, it's not that complicated. You know what? You have to believe in karma. If you put good information out there on your portal and you make it easier for people to respond, you'll have enough leads. You don't have to encourage people to fill out three or four forms. What do you think, Paul?
Well, you know, I think you hit right on it where content is king. And, of course, that's what we always promote within social media. And being the portals are online, I guess you could look at it as an extension of social media, or it's all tied together, and content is king. And I think the more that you put out there, the more that the person visiting your site, instead of just clicking through, will return and use your portal, your directory, if you would, as a resource, as a search engine. The problem is that I think too many portals are viewed by the interested parties as nothing more than that very annoying, cumbersome reader card that we used to get in the front of magazines that had, you know, 200 numbers on it, and you could circle just any 200 and get information.
Right.
Without really digging down into, you know, is it relevant? Is it really what I want? I have 20 choices. I might as well make the most out of all of them. So, you know, yeah, get people to come back to you and use it as a resource, and you won't have people just arbitrarily, you know, clicking their way through just to get out of the site.
Yeah, it's just not cool. I think that franchise directories are needed and are wanted because it does make kind of a one-stop shopping experience. But, you know, I always tell people, you know what, it's not like shopping for a car. You know, don't pick a franchise because you like the logo and the colors or because it happens to do with a hobby of yours. Pick one because it makes sense for you, and you can get the basic information from a portal, but you really have to dig in.
Well, you know what I think is the real problem? I think the real problem is if you go to the top 20 portals, they look so much alike.
Sure
they have all the same categories, investment levels, and everything right up front. Now, some of them have some quote-unquote educational material kind of buried off to the side or at the very bottom. And I don't understand why all of that shouldn't be up front and educate the viewer as they come through your site, so that as they get into your site and they look at the directory, they'll have a better understanding of what they're looking for. You know, if through the various bits of educational information, this reader, this viewer determines that, you know what? Yeah, I do need to understand what my level of investment is going to be. You know, what am I passionate about? And I'm not talking about doing a profile. I think profile is fine in some cases, and in some they're used to the advantage of the person giving the profile. I think we need to let them, we talk about franchisees are responsible for their own success. Let them be responsible for getting to the point of making the correct decision. Understand what they're passionate about. Do an honest critique and review of your skill set. Know what you like, know what you don't like, understand what your finances are, understand what your investment level is going to be. And as you narrow that down, now when you start looking at the directory, I think you can look at it in a more informed, intelligent, practical manner. And you'll come back to that site time after time after time because the time spent up front was to educate you and to get you involved in the process and not just a matter of clicks that somebody could send you information. That being said, getting back to the point that I was making of the problem is nobody out there in the portal world wants to take the bull by the horns and be the first one to do that and put their directory towards the back.
Yeah, I know. And it might not happen. But of course the people that want information are to go to the franchise blogs anyway. Because they know that's where the information is gonna be. But yeah, I mean that's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I wrote an article last year and I was it's about rating the franchise portals and I got some interesting comments. It's over at smallbusinesstrends.com. All you have to do is go to smallbiztrends.com. In the search bar on the top right, just put in franchise directories, and you can read the article. And I ranked about, I rated about 10 of them, 8 or 10 of them, and got some interesting comments. And I'm sure that I peed off a couple people, but I just wrote what I know and what I see.
That's what all you can do. What it is, right?
What it is. What it will be, and it shall be, and it will be, and it is.
So what else is going on in the portal world?
I don't really know. There's always new portals starting. But you know what? They all kind of look the same. But one of the reasons they all look the same is just like there's a certain percent of franchisors that work with brokerage groups and independent brokers like us, there's also a certain percentage of franchisors that advertise on franchise directory portals. And the tile ads are all the same color and the same logo. So that's why I think you are seeing that a lot of them look alike because it's mostly the same advertisers.
You know, one of the things that Joe Matthews brought up in his 6 big takeaways, you know, of course, his first one had to do of lead generation, which we just talked about, and he talked about the portals not keeping up with changing franchise buying behavior. And are becoming increasingly irrelevant. And, of course, we talked a little bit about that. But the second thing he talked about is social media having tremendous potential, but few are realizing major gains. Instead of saying, few are actually using it, and few are actually using it with a sense of direction. I don't think you could talk about potential and few realizing major gains without preempting that with there's a very small percentage of franchisors that are actually using social media and using it with specific goals and objectives in mind.
Which you are very, very good at when you do strategy for the companies that, you know, that want to use your services and use our services sometimes. It has to start at the beginning, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's too many franchisors that are just doing it, you know, social media haphazardly. I'm sure, you know, Tom Scott of Show Homes has a plan in place when he uses his social media, which is the reason why he's indicated that 1/3 of his franchisees came from social media.
Right.
You know, he's recruiting 1/3 of his franchisees. You know, he's doing self-generated PR. He's doing self-generated social media. And it seems to be working. The thing that, basically I resent in Mr. Matthews' comments is considering how quickly behavior is changing, consulting, holding themselves out as expert in this field are questionable at best. And
yeah,
I wonder,
what does he mean?
Oh, how can you say that when you don't even understand the damn basis of social media?
Exactly. And who are you referring to? Right? Who are you talking about?
I agree. Hey, I just saw on CNN that the Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan is for sale. You going to buy it, Joe? Maybe you buy a little stadium there and have a big revival in Detroit.
Well, since I'm in Cleveland, I don't really concern myself. We have enough problems with the Browns and the Indians. I don't really need to know about the Tigers and who's their football team?
Well, I actually think at least the Cleveland Indians are doing well in the baseball playoffs. Oh, wait. Those are all the Indian players that are now on other teams.
Yes, they are, and that is old news. Thank you very much. Does Houston have any playoff teams?
The Rockets.
Let's
move on. Anyway, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody, Joe, but if you think we're not, you know, experts, and honestly, I really don't think there are any experts out there yet. It's too damn new to be an expert. Let's just say that we're using it a hell of a lot more than other people, number one, and number two, we've gone through a lot of the trials and tribulations. More than anything, social media works, but only if you have a defined strategy in place. Identify your targets, know who your targets are, know where they are, go out after them, understand what you're going to do once you engage with them, understand how you're going to use social media to combat negative publicity, understand your goals and objectives. If your goal and objective is to generate revenue at your franchise locations, be able to measure it accordingly. If your only goal and objective is to increase franchise sales, well, you got a little bit different road to hoe there. You need to go ahead and focus a little bit more and talk more about entrepreneurial endeavors, talk about credit, talk about financing, talk about what it takes to open up a location in order to engage people. But more importantly, you better know who those people are and who's going to be the one at your company that is going to engage them. Know and train the voice of your company, and especially in today's day and age with the flu going around and people being out of work for a week or two at a time, you better train more than one voice for the company. Know it going in, otherwise you won't know it coming out, and you'll think social media is not working.
Oh, yeah, you'll think it's terrible. Where's my return? Where's my ROI? You know, we have a Facebook page up now. Why aren't I getting leads? It's not as simple as that. It's just not. It takes a long time.
You know, we talked, as I talked with different franchisors, and I asked them for an objective and a goal with social media, I've narrowed it down to seven of the most common ones. Would you like to hear what the seven are?
I'd actually like to hear six of them.
All right. First, create or improve brand awareness. Okay. And keep in mind, you could use two or three or all seven at one time, but make sure your strategy is planned accordingly. Increase business at the unit level. Create or improve interest in the franchise opportunity. Generate qualified franchise leads. Improve franchise sales efficiency. Improve communications throughout the franchise system. And then it comes down to geographics. Are you trying to do it locally, regionally, or nationally? And if you don't know what your objectives are going in, you're not going to know whether your results have been effective or not.
Did you post that somewhere? Because I think it's worth posting. Six out of the seven.
I'll get it there. I posted the different PowerPoint presentations to the Frantelligence webinar series on my LinkedIn profile. Of course, the audio isn't part of it, which, of course, is a big part of it. But here's something that I want to bring out, you know, because everybody talks about social media metrics. How could I, you know, gauge if this is working? How do I know if it's worth the money? And it comes down to this. If the net result of online activity adds up to effective social media engagement, then what is the monetary value of a visit, a comment, a link, or a friend? Well, the only answer, the only honest answer, is it depends. Only you know how much these interactions actually matter to your brand and to your goals and objectives. That's the real way of measuring social media.
So how many people have you worked with to help them get started with social media, actually get it so far? What percentage?
I would say 50%. And I'll tell you, and the reason is a big mistake that I made. A big mistake that I made was doing a lot of the social media activity for them.
Yeah.
If they're not doing it themselves, they don't get it. And unless there are just remarkable results, they just don't get it.
Yeah, but we have to start them off and get them at least online with the tools, right?
Well, I agree. And what I'm trying to do now is work more with them as opposed to working for them.
Okay.
And teach them how to do it and guide them along and help them improve it as opposed to doing it entirely for them. Because you know as well as I do, social media can take you in so many different directions based on the activity that's going on that particular day, based on a response, based on a comment, based on a link, based on a photo, based on a video. It takes you in a lot of different ways, and you've got to be able to act and know specifically about the company that, you know, you're actually blogging or posting or linking for. Otherwise, you're not going to come across as transparent. You're not going to come across as being honest, and people are going to see right through you.
And you're right. There was a post that just came out today. I'm subscribed to the online marketing blog. And he put 7 considerations for tracking social media success up today. And the last one is pretty cool. Social media is an investment. Social media success takes time. The seeds of relationships need to grow, and you'll need to invest what's needed to make it work for whatever end goals that are set. Expecting results in a month or two isn't realistic. No, it's so true. I mean, this is an instant world. Everyone wants everything now, but it just isn't going to happen. Patience.
You know, we've become a society where we put a baked potato in the microwave for 3 minutes and get impatient. Come on already. You know, where it used to take an hour to bake a potato. But, you know, Joe, there are obvious and there are not so obvious results. And anybody that's venturing into social media or looking to improve their social media efforts, look at the obvious results, but look at the not so obvious. I mean, obviously, you know, the obvious results, an increase in system-wide, you know, revenue. That's fine. That's easy to gauge. You know how much activity you had. If you see system-wide revenue increase at all the franchise locations, and nothing else has changed in regards to traditional marketing, then I think it's fair to say your social media activity has assisted in that system-wide revenue growth. But what about customer satisfaction? You know, while you're doing this social media activity, make sure you have a way to gauge your customer satisfaction level. If you track, you know, customer complaints and you're tracking, you know, a time frame on them being resolved, you know, look at your social media activity and your increase of activity and see if you can gauge customer satisfaction, because you've got this communication out there and you're responding to stuff right away on social media. Maybe your customer satisfaction levels are actually increasing, but you need to be aware of that and look at it. Corporate profitability. I mean, obviously, if you have social media activity going on and it's all working and corporate profitability is going up because nothing else has changed, by the same token, maybe you need to look at system-wide stability. You know, ask that cold, hard question. Do I have less or more franchisees whining and complaining out there or threatening for one reason or another? See if this opening up of lines of communication is actually helping there. Of course, it's easy to say, is it helping in my franchise development efforts? You know, we know how to track that real easily. If nothing else has changed and your franchise sales are up, then you know that social media is working in that regard. By the same token, what about vendor and supplier reaction? What about looking at additional referrals that come in that regard? All of a sudden, you're online generating social media activity, and all of a sudden, the cream of the crop of the vendors and suppliers are knocking on your door wanting to put together better deals for your franchisees. That's another way that's not a monetary value immediately that shows significant positive, not so obvious results from social media.
It's the not so obvious ones are the ones that are going to take the longest for the franchisors to get in tune with.
And they're going to be the ones that are probably often going to be missed because they're not looking out there and they're not tracking it. And, you know, when you're talking about relationships and you're talking about participation and engagement, a lot of that has to do with it. I mean, if all of a sudden you're getting an increase, an improvement in the type of vendor or supplier that's knocking on your door and putting together better deals for you to do business with your then I would have to say he's been participating in some of your social media. He might not have understood who you were to begin with, but you know what? By being involved in social media, by being involved on LinkedIn and seeing various things in blogs being written, it just comes down to the bottom that, you know, it's working.
Well, it works, but it does take a while.
It does take a while. You know, Joel, I know you and I had got some kudos last week from a blog written, What Do Franchises and Franchising Experts Do on Social Media? And I don't see anybody else's name on here except Joel Labavas and Paul Segretto, so I guess we do know what we're doing. What do you think?
I think it was mostly about you, so, you know, whatever.
No, there was only three social media. You would have talked about blogging. You would have got... Okay.
Testy. Hey, you know, speaking of blogging, I'm going to be at Blog World next week. Do you have someone lined up to hang with you?
Hell, I'll do it myself. I don't know.
No.
Hey, really? Is Winston available?
No, actually, he won't be available.
Well, you know what? Sorry. I'll throw this out there to anybody that is listening live. Or anybody that will listen to this over the weekend, send me an email at segretto.paul@gmail.com and tell me why you want to be my co-host for next week while Joel is gambling away the family fortune. Oh, no, wait. You're going to be Blogging World. Okay. While Joel is at Blogging World, and he'll report back, so we'll be able to use that for the following week. But if you want to be my guest co-host next week, send me an email, segretto.paul@gmail.com, and tell me why, and let's see what we can do. No charge, like the other shows do, and it'll give you an opportunity to also talk about your franchise opportunity and your concept. So let's give it a shot. Good idea, Joel.
Can you make sure that it's somebody that's not too good, because I still want my job when I get back?
Well, if you can make it back from Las Vegas, I'll make sure you have your job here.
Oh, I'll make it back. Now it's all work though. Blog World is all work. It's boring. There's no laughing going on. It's all serious business. So I won't even have time to gamble. So don't even worry about it, man. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. If my wife is listening, everything's cool. We're fine. It's okay. I'm only bringing $27 with me.
You're only bringing $27? Hey, you know, Joel, the buffets have gone up in price over the years.
Hey, you know what? I know so many people. I am so entrenched in blogging that I won't even have to pay for a dinner.
Okay, that's a challenge. Let's hear if you have to pay for a dinner. Hey, you going to see Guy Kawasaki while you're out there?
Yep. I'll see Guy. And you know who's going to be there? Anthony Edwards, the actor from ER and Top Gun. He's going to actually be one of the panelists. Kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he going to talk about?
I have no idea. Obviously, he's doing something with social media. Maybe we should Google him or Bing him and see what he's up to. Last year, one of the band members from Linkin Park was actually a panelist. Pretty cool. So, yeah, they do a nice job. It's a big showing. And it's funny because some real media personalities sometimes try to sneak in, but they won't let them in. Got to be a blogger. Got to be someone in social media, but mostly a blogger.
Yeah, you mentioned about Google, and it brought something to mind, which is, you know, make sure that if you're using social media activity, and I don't even know why I'm throwing this out there, because, you know, if the franchise update survey is still showing 40 or 50% of the people not following through leads and we're not managing that ourselves, I won't be cynical. Use what's called online activity management. You know how you go to your website, and you go to the analytics, and you know exactly how many hits you get on a website during a particular month, and you might be doing the same with a blog site. But do a brand audit in all the primary and secondary search engines. And again, Joel, this goes back to the brokers and the portals. And I think you're going to be unpleasantly surprised, franchisors, at how many brokers and portals are actually using your trademark to generate activity for themselves when you might not even be doing a business with them or have a relationship with them. Okay? Take a look at that. Do your brand audit. Do some mystery shopping. You know, do some mystery shopping of your in-house sales team. Do some mystery shopping of your franchise locations as it relates to validating your franchise concept. Do some mystery shopping of franchise brokers and portals. Get an understanding of who's using your name out there and how it's being used. And then also, do a little mystery shopping within your social media channels and see how your company voice is doing. I think you'll be surprised at some and unpleasantly surprised by others.
And there, real quick, there's a site that will speed it up for you called Dogpile. If you go to dogpile.com, it kind of does it with all the search engines at once, all the majors.
Yeah, that's excellent. Also, I mean, I highly recommend that you do a Google alert and have that set up so every time something's mentioned about your brand, you get a little notice about it. You know, Joel, one of the things we were talking about in the Frantelligence webinar series had to do with analyzing and quantifying, you know, the results. And we talked about how, you know, subjective that really is and how it's based on, you know, really on your goals and objectives to know whether it's successful, effective, or not. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, measuring social media is not yet a science. But, quite frankly, nor is it a rocket science yet. Okay? I mean, it's simple. You have a goal and objective. If you met it, you know you're on track. You know, that's the way I look at it. It's got to be based on your strategy. And, of course, you know, proper execution of the strategy comes into play as well.
You are right on the money, man.
I saw a neat cartoon that said, years from now, people will remember exactly which social... Let me repeat that as the lady from Blog Talk Radio interrupted me. Years from now, people will remember exactly which social network they were on the moment they found out Michael Jackson had died. And the other guy in says, hey, mind if I tweet that?
Okay.
Anyway, there's a lot out there. So, Joel, if I don't talk to you, you have yourself a very nice time in Sin City.
Thank you.
If you need to be bailed out, you have my phone number. So,
yeah, thank you. No, all the cops know me there already. Don't worry about it.
Good. Let me give some resources out here about social media. People have been asking me for it. New Rules of Marketing and PR by David Meerman Scott, The Social Media Bible by Lon Safko and David Brake, Socialnomics by Eric Qualman, and one of my favorites that I just read, Trust Agents by Chris Brogan and Julian Smith. Great books really help you a lot in social media. If you haven't read all of them, Joel, pick one of them up for the plane ride.
I will. I might even get 5 minutes with Chris and get a little interview. We'll see.
There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. I'm Paul Segreto, and I'm out for the Franchise Today Show.
See ya.